Is God really good? How can I know he cares for me? In our tender moments when we feel weakest, or when life is messy, it begins to unravel. That question, I think the volume of it is turned up. Just recently I was speaking to a friend who is really just coming to terms with a loved one who's received a diagnosis they didn't want. And it's going to mean a long-term illness that's really going to affect them. It's going to affect their quality of life. And when we were chatting about it, we were just chatting about doctors. And we were chatting about how, whilst it's important that a doctor has good knowledge and skills, that actually in that moment, especially in a moment when you receive a diagnosis, the doctor's manner is really, really important. In that moment when we receive that news, or whenever the doctor is caring for us, we want to know that that person cares for us. They actually are interested in you. You want to know that you're cared for. There's a book called Side by Side, which is about Christians loving each other. And Ed Welsh has written it, and he says this. He says, all suffering raises a relational question. Does God love me? We might think that suffering raises a reason question. Why is this happening to me? But actually, there's a bigger reason behind that, or bigger question, sorry. It's a who question, the relationship question. Who is looking after me in the midst of this? If you've ever had those doubts or questions, is God really good? Does he really care? Listen to Jesus' words here. John 10 and verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. There's a little bit more to what Jesus is saying here than we might first realise. Just using those words, I am, they're an echo of words that Moses heard way back in Exodus 3:14 at the burning bush. Moses has been told to go back to God's people, and he says, who will I say sent me? What's your name? And God has this really personal moment with Moses where he shows him his name. And he says this to Moses. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to Israel. I am has sent me to you. And a number of times in the Old Testament, God's people keep coming back to that revelation. It's a revelation of who God is. So when Jesus says, I am, it's a revelation. And he's really hinting, maybe more than hinting, that he is God in their midst. He has come to his people. John in his gospel has a number of these I am statements, and they show us who Jesus is and what it means to belong to him. They're all word pictures. John doesn't have any parables, but he has these statements, and they're a little bit like parables. They show us the kind of life that Jesus brings. I am the good shepherd. You'll have picked up in chapter 10 there maybe that Jesus is speaking with the Pharisees at this moment. And before we get to the good shepherd, we need to deal with the bad shepherd that lurks in the background here. Verses 12 and 13 in John 10, he speaks about hired hands who just don't care. They just save their own skin. They don't care for the sheep. In verse 1 and verse 10, he talks about thieves and robbers who just kill and destroy the sheep. In verse 5, he talks about strangers who don't even know the sheep. That's pretty tasty here, isn't it? Like Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, he's not holding back. And if you know John's gospel, there's some pretty bruising, confronting encounters. Jesus takes the Pharisees on. Why? Well, because it really matters who your shepherd is. The shepherds were people who would lead God's people. If they were bad, well, the sheep suffered. The people of God suffered. If they were good, they were cared for. That's why it mattered who the shepherds were. But let's be fair to the Pharisees. They were not the first leaders of God's people to get this so messed up. If you've got your finger still in that Ezekiel 34, flick back to it with me. And what you have here in verses 1 to 6 is God speaking out against the leaders of Israel. And we're not going to read it all, but I'm just going to scan through it a little bit. Verse 2, he's definitely not happy with them. Verse 3, basically they're eating and feeding themselves and not taking care of the flock. Verse 4, they're not looking after the weak. They're not bringing back those who have gone off lost. Verse 5, the sheep are then scattered because of it. And then in verse 10, if you go down to verse 10, you'll see God says, I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable. I will remove them and I will rescue my flock from their mouths. So really Jesus is speaking of the Pharisees here. They're the bad shepherds, the bad leaders. But he says, I am the good shepherd. I am nothing like them. I'm going to look after you. And he is speaking really on the grounds of Ezekiel 34 again. And in verses 11 to 16, God himself says he will come. I'll read out these verses. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places they were scattered. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from their countries. Verse 14, I will tend them in good pasture. In verse 15, he tends them. Verse 16, he searches for the lost, binds up the injured and weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. So God himself will come and shepherd. But in verse 24, he says, I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. But as Ezekiel is writing, David's long gone. David's in the background. But the David he speaks of is the Messiah who will come, and he will be a shepherd king just like David was. He will come to protect his people and to give pasture to his people. And if you flick back to John 10, that's just what Jesus has been saying he has come to do. In fact, he's already had another I am in this chapter. In verse 7 you'll read, he says, I am the gate for the sheep. But the gate and the shepherd are the same. The shepherd would actually sleep at night time in the gap, in the pen. He would sleep in the door to make sure that the sheep were safe, that no wolves or bears could get in over. So he was their protection. He was in the entranceway. So he protects them. But in verse 9 and 10 here you'll see as well, he gives them pasture, which is how Jesus describes his life to the full. It's pasture. They can come in and go out and find pasture. The Middle East is not Ireland today. It's a dry and dusty place. Pastures, they're not really abundant. They need to be worked for. The ground needs to be irrigated. The shepherd needs to know exactly where to lead the sheep to the grass. So the sheep, they're not just going to find grass anywhere, like you probably would here. Yet the sheep are really dependent on the shepherd to stay alive. They need the shepherd to show them where the grass is. And Jesus is saying, you need to depend on me. I am the good shepherd. And perhaps this is recalling in your mind that psalm, that famous psalm, Psalm 23, where it talks about lying down in green pastures. And then this age of anxiety we live in, what more could we look for than rest and freedom from fear? And maybe you think that's a bit far-fetched. There's no getting away from trouble in the real world, and that's true. But in that psalm, Jesus says he will set a table for his people in the midst of their enemies. And that's the picture we have here. The picture of Jesus looking after his people. I am the good shepherd. How good? Well, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He puts himself in harm's way for his sheep. Sheep are pretty easy prey. They need minded. They're easy pickings for a predator, really. Sheep has no defences when you think about it. They've not no defences. And they are not going to outrun most animals. They're in trouble. Like, they need to be minded. And here the good shepherd gives hands-on protection. We might picture a shepherd with nice little lambs, you know, those kind of pictures, lovely shepherd, nice and gentle. But actually, it's probably a pretty hands-on, muscular job. Dirty job at times. But it involves sometimes getting hands-on with predators. Long time before this, David said when he faced Goliath that he had already taken on bears and wolves to protect the sheep. And that's what being a shepherd involved. Putting yourself in harm's way. But this good shepherd goes even further. He lays down his life. That wasn't something that a shepherd would really do. A shepherd might put himself in harm's way, but laying down your life is a strange way to put it. Actually, it's the language of sacrifice that's being used here. In verses 17 and 18 in John 10 there, if you look down with me, it says, "The reason my Father loves me," Jesus says, "is that I lay down my life, only to take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father." And this is where this saying really helps us tonight on Good Friday. This is what is happening on the cross. In John 19 and verse 30, which we read earlier, we read this as Jesus laid his life down. Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. He handed over his spirit. He was the one who decided to go. His life wasn't taken from him. He actually gave it up. He laid it down. Jesus is not the victim. He does not have it taken from him. He gives it. His death is not an accident. It is planned and purposed by God. Between Jesus and the Father, we heard the conversation there about him having authority to leave it down and take it up again. Jesus' death was voluntary. Jesus' death was willing. And so Jesus' death shows his love for us. He lays down his life. And in John 15, Jesus says this, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." John Hindley writes a book about serving Christ, and he says, this is a great reason to live for Jesus, a great reason to trust him. Jesus is a friend who has laid down his life for us. And he speaks about a group of soldiers in Afghanistan. There was a group of soldiers who stumbled into a minefield, and several of them were injured, but the medic was there caring for them. And the medic was moving around to treat his friends, even though every step he took was a risk. Because every step he took, he was putting himself in harm's way and could have been a very, very bad moment for him. But he still attended to the wounded. Soldiers risk their lives every day, maybe for their country, maybe for the mission they're involved in. But actually, when you ask soldiers what they risk their lives for, quite often they'll say it's for their friends. And there's a real bond in a unit or a patrol of soldiers that they trust each other in the heat of battle with their life. They have to trust each other. Jesus is the one who in the heat of battle laid down his life for us. And so we can completely trust him. He is the one who has all authority and all power, but what does he do with it? He lays down his life. We can trust him. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He does it for someone else. Again, this is the language of sacrifice. If you're someone who's been told at school that you don't mix your metaphors, you're not going to like this. But actually, the shepherd here is also a lamb. And in Revelation, that's what we read, the lamb will be their shepherd. That might sound strange, but as the shepherd gives his life, he is actually being the sacrificial lamb. We thought about that a moment ago. He is the Passover lamb that John points us to. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he gives himself for the sheep. For people who have strayed, who are lost, and who are in danger because of sin. In Isaiah 53 verse 6 we read that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each have turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We've decided to go off on our own outside of the care of the shepherd. We've decided to go outside of his loving words and ways. And if we're honest, we live by our own best ideas, by our own good intentions, or often just by how we feel like living. But when we live like that, we're in danger. 1 Peter chapter 2 and 25, Peter says, "You were straying like sheep, and you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." And what Peter is saying is, there's a way of coming back into God's care. Stop trying to mind yourself and coming back into his care. And when we do that, we find God as our shepherd. Not only the good things he gives us protection and he gives us pasture, but actually we enjoy God's presence for himself. In John chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." The reason Jesus lays his life down is so that we can come to know the Father and be in this relationship with him. Sheep need looking after. They're needy, they're dependent, they're vulnerable. We are compared to sheep in the Bible right the way through. We need looking after. And in those tender moments when we think, does he really care? Here is the place we can look. We can look to the cross and see that he gave his life for us to bring us back to God. That is what speaks most clearly to tell us he cares. How do we know the shepherd's care? We can look to the cross. But there's more than that. We can actually experience his care in Christian community. John, as he writes his letter in 1 John 3:16, says this: "This is how we know love, that Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." How we feel and experience the care of the shepherd is through church, is through the hands and feet of God's people. It's made real and practical and tangible. Perhaps you can think of other groups that you're involved in. Could be at work or other groups outside of that. Have a little think about the group dynamic. Sometimes the group dynamic's not always a very positive thing. People can be trying to push their way to the front or push their way to the top. There can be a bit of politics going on. There can be making a name for yourself. Jesus says this group, his people, the church, are to be different. They're to put themselves out for others, not be in it for themselves, to lay down their lives for one another, just like he has laid down his life for us. Wonder, can you think for a moment when you've experienced that, when you've known the shepherd's care through the care of another Christian? I know we've known this recently, as Ali has just been in with her leg again, getting the metal work out. Sometimes it is those little trips to the hospital or those little tender moments that really show us that people care and that we can see the shepherd's care as well. We can know the shepherd's care, but we can also show it beyond us. Jesus speaks in these verses further on here, and he says that he's got more sheep to bring, more that are not of this fold. And in Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus says he came to seek and to save the lost. How will the people that we know, the people in this community, ever know the shepherd's care? Well, in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus looks at the crowds, and his description for them echoes an Old Testament concern of God. Jesus had compassion on the crowds. He saw they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. They were lost. And last Sunday we took a little bit of time to pray for people in our community, But I wonder, would you look again with me and just think for a moment, who do you see around you that's a bit lost? Who looks like there's someone who needs a shepherd's care? Maybe there are people with family struggles, struggling to care for loved ones, or they've got health things going on within their family or relationship struggles. Maybe you look around and there's youth who struggle to fit in. They don't know who they are. They're trying to belong and they're trying hard just to find a fit in. Maybe it's people who've moved to this area who feel outside of things. Maybe even they don't have the language very well. They don't know where to go to things. They don't know where to plug in. They feel a bit lost. Or maybe it's the elderly, the lonely, who are lonely, whose family have moved away, who need help and company. How might we show the shepherd's love by laying down our lives for others around us? But as we finish up this evening, let's not look down with condescending pity on other people and think they're all lost and we're all fine. The truth is, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. And if we are part of the flock, if we are part of God's people, it's only because he came after us. And we're just as needy. We need to know the shepherd's care. So in those tender moments when you're asking that question, is God really good? Does he really care? Well, we can look to the place where we find assurance and we can point others to that same place. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Let's pray together.